There is a fifth dimension beyond that which is known to man. It is a dimension as vast as space and as timeless as infinity. It is the middle ground between light and shadow, between science and superstition, and it lies between the pit of man's fears and the summit of his knowledge. This is the dimension of imagination. It is an area which we call the Twilight Zone. Maple Street, USA. Late summer. A tree-lined little world of front porch gliders, barbecues, the laughter of children, and the bell of an ice cream vendor. At the sound of the roar and the flash of light, it will be precisely 6:43 p.m. on Maple Street.
Three young boys run up to an ice cream cart. A man washes his car. Across the street, another man prunes a tree. They all look up at the sky.
What was that, a meteor?
Yeah, that's what it looked like. I didn't hear any crash, though, did you?
No, I didn't hear anything except a roar.
A woman walks out of a nearby house.
Steve, what was that?
I guess it was a meteor, honey. Came awful close, didn't it?
Too close for my money. Much too close.
She goes back inside. The men resume washing the car.
This is Maple Street on a late Saturday afternoon. Maple Street, in the last calm and reflective moment before the monsters came.
A man walks out of a house and changes a light bulb. Pulls the chain, but the light doesn't go on. He unscrews the bulb and shakes it. Meanwhile, in the house...
Operator! Operator!
Elsewhere, a man in overalls struggles with a power drill.
Operator!
She gets up. Steve finishes washing the car and carries a bucket toward the house.
Steve, the power's off. I had the soup on the stove and the stove just stopped working.
Is your phone all right? I can't get anybody on mine.
Our electricity isn't working. The power off?
All along Maple Street, people empty out of houses and onto the sidewalk.
I'll cut across the backyard, see if the power is still on Floral Street,
says the man in overalls. He walks off with a hammer still hanging from his overalls.
Doesn't make sense. Why should the power go off all of a sudden and the phone line?
Maybe some kind of an electrical storm or something.
Now, that don't seem likely. The sky's just as blue as anything. Not a cloud, no lightning, no thunder, no nothing. How could it be a storm?
Can't get a thing on the radio, not even on the portable.
Why don't we go downtown and check with the police? Well, they'll probably think we're crazy or something. A little power failure and everybody gets flustered and everything.
It isn't just a power failure, Charlie. If it were, we'd still be able to get a broadcast on the portable. I'll take a run downtown. Maybe I can get it straightened out.
Yeah.
Steve goes into his car. The crowd gathers around the car.
Understand it. It was working fine before.
Were you out of gas?
I just filled it up.
Well, what does it mean?
It's as if everything stopped. Maybe we better walk downtown.
Well, let's both go, Charlie.
Yeah.
Mr. Brand, you better not.
Why not?
They don't want you to.
Who doesn't want us to?
Them.
Pointing upward.
Them?
Who are them?
Whoever was in that thing that came by overhead.
What?
Whoever was in the thing that came over. I don't think they want us to leave here.
Steve and Charlie walk back.
What do you mean, Tommy? What are you talking about?
They don't want us to leave. That's why they shut everything off.
What makes you say that? Where'd you get that idea?
Isn't that the craziest thing you've ever heard?
It's always that way in every story I've ever read about a ship landing from outer space.
From outer space, yes. Sal, you better take him upstairs, put him to bed. He's been reading too many comic books or seeing too many movies or something.
Now, Tommy, you stop that kind of talk. Come on, let's go.
Go ahead, Tommy. We'll be right back, and then you'll see. It wasn't a ship, it was a meteor or something. Likely as not, that's the cause of the power failure and all the rest of it. Meteors can do crazy things like sunspots.
Sure, that's the kind of thing, like sunspots. They raise Cain with radio reception all over the world. This thing being so close, there's no telling the sort of stuff it can do. You go ahead, Steve. You and Charlie go into town, see if that isn't what's causing it all.
Mr. Brand, please don't leave here. You might not even be able to get to town. It was that way in the story. Nobody could leave. Nobody except...
Except who?
Except the people they'd sent down ahead of them. They looked just like humans, and it wasn't until the ship landed that... Tommy, please, son. Honey, don't talk like that.
This is the craziest thing you ever heard of. The kid tells us a comic book plot, and we stand here listening.
Wait a minute. Go ahead, Tommy. What kind of a story was it? What about the people they sent ahead?
That was the way they prepared things for the landing. They sent four people, a mother and a father and two kids who looked just like humans. But they weren't.
Well, I guess what we need to do is run a check of the neighborhood and find out which ones of us are really human.
No, you stand around making bum jokes about it.
Yeah. Wonder if Floral Street's got the same kind of deal we have. See, where's Pete Van Horn? Has he come back yet?
Across the street from the crowd.
Does your car start, Les?
No dice. Well, I don't know what's wrong. Nothing seems to be working. Can't even get the car started.
Smoke now coming out of the tailpipe. He runs back to the car.
Car started somehow. He got his car started.
How come his car just up and started like that?
All by itself. He wasn't anywhere near it. It just started all by itself.
He leans on the car.
He never did come out to look at that thing that flew overhead. He wasn't even interested.
He always was an oddball. Him and his whole family. Real oddball.
Now, why didn't he come out with the rest of us to look?
What do you say we go ask him?
They all cross the street.
Wait a minute! Now, let's not be a mob.
I just don't understand it. I tried to start it, wouldn't start. You saw me. All of you saw me.
And now it stops.
I don't understand.
Les with his hands on his hips.
I swear I just don't understand. What's happening?
Well, maybe you better tell us. There's nothing working on this street. Nothing. No lights, no power, no radio. Nothing except one car, yours.
How do you figure it started, Les?
Yeah, how do you explain that?
Yeah, what's the idea, Les?
Wait a minute now. Just keep your distance, all of you.
He retreats to the front porch.
Okay, so I've got a car that starts by itself. Well, it's a freak thing, I admit it, but what's it make me, a criminal or something? I don't know why it starts, it just does. What's this all about, Steve?
We're on a monster kick, Les. Seems the general impression now holds that maybe there's a family that isn't what we think they are. monsters from outer space or something, different than us. Fifth columnists from the vast beyond. Now, do you know anybody that might fit that description around here on Maple Street?
This is a gag or something? What is this, a practical joke or something? That's supposed to incriminate me, huh? The car starts and stops, and that really does it, huh? Really does it.
Nervously twisting his ring.
Well, I don't understand it any more than any of you do. Look, you all know me. We've lived here for 5 years, right in this house. We aren't any different from you, any different at all. The whole thing is just... really, the whole thing is just weird.
Well, if that's the case, Les Goodman, then explain why you...
Explain what?
Look, let's just forget it.
Now, wait a minute. Let her talk. Go ahead, explain what.
Well, sometimes I stay up late at night. And a couple of times I've come out on my porch and I've seen Les Goodman here in the wee hours of the morning, standing in his yard, just looking up at the sky. That's right, just looking up at the sky as though he were waiting for something. As though he were looking for something.
You know, really, this is for laughs. You know what I'm guilty of? I'm guilty of insomnia.
Stepping down from the porch.
Well, what's the penalty for that?
The crowd backs away from him.
Well, you heard what I said. I said it was insomnia. I said it was insomnia! You scared, frightened rabbits, you. You're sick people, do you know that? You're sick people, all of you. And you don't even know what you're starting here, because let me tell you, you're starting something here that's what you should be frightened of. As God is my witness, you're letting something begin here that's a nightmare.
That night... a woman lights a candle. Takes a glass of milk outside onto the porch and brings it to Les as a crowd watches them from the sidewalk. Next door, Charlie sits on his lawn and looks their way. His wife brings him a sweater and a bottle of soda.
It seems right keeping watch on them. Why, they're our neighbors. We've known the Goodmans ever since they came here. We've been good friends.
That don't prove a thing. Any guy who'd spend his time looking up at the sky early in the morning, there's something wrong with that kind of a person. Something that ain't legitimate. Under normal circumstances, we'd let it go by, but these aren't normal circumstances. Look at that street. Nothing but candles. It's like going back into the dark ages or something.
Stay right where you are, Steve. We don't want any trouble. But this time, anyone who sets foot on my porch, that's what he's gonna get. Trouble.
Look, Les, I'm sorry.
I've already explained to you people. I don't sleep very well at night sometimes. So I get up. I go out. I take a walk. I look up at the sky. I look at the stars.
That's exactly what he does. Why, this whole thing is some kind of madness.
That's exactly what it is, Mrs. Goodman. Some kind of madness.
You best watch who you sing with, Steve. Till we get this all straightened out, you ain't exactly above suspicion yourself.
Or you, Charlie. Or any of us, it seems, from age 8 on up.
What I want to know is, what are we going to do? Just stand around here all night?
There's nothing else we can do. One of them will tip their hand. They got to.
There's something you can do, Charlie. You can go inside and keep your mouth shut. You can quit sitting there like a self-appointed hanging judge and just climb into bed and forget it.
You sound pretty anxious to have that happen, Steve. I guess we ought to keep an eye on you, too.
Yeah, I think maybe everything might as well come out now. Your wife's been doing a little talking, Steve, about some of the odd things you've been doing.
Yeah? Well, go ahead, Don. Tell us what she said.
Go ahead. What's my wife said? Let's get it all out. Let's pick out every idiosyncrasy of every man, woman, and child on this whole street. And then we might as well set up some kind of a kangaroo court. Now, how about a firing squad at dawn, Charlie, to get rid of all the suspects, narrow them down for you, make it easier? Huh? Right, Don?
Well, there's no need getting so upset, Steve. It's just that... Well, Myra's talked about how there's been plenty of nights you spent hours down in your basement working on some kind of radio or something. Well, none of us have ever seen that radio.
Go ahead, Steve.
Charlie approaches.
What kind of radio set you working on? I never seen it. Neither has anyone else. Who talks to you on that radio set, and who do you talk to?
Well, I'm surprised at you, Charlie. How come you're so dense all of a sudden? Who do I talk to? Well, I talk to monsters from outer space. I talk to three-headed green men who fly over here in what look like meteors.
Steve, please. It's just a ham radio set, that's all. I bought the book for him myself. It's just a ham radio set. A lot of people have them. I'll show it to you. It's down in the basement.
No. No, we won't show them anything. If they want to look inside our house, let them get a search warrant.
Look, buddy, you can't afford to...
Now, Charlie, don't you tell me what I can afford. And stop telling me who's dangerous and who isn't, and who's safe and who's a menace.
And you're with them, too, all of you. You're all standing out here, all set to crucify somebody. You're all set to find a scapegoat. You're all desperate to point some kind of a finger at a neighbor.
But believe me, friends, the only thing that's going to happen is that we're going to eat each other up alive.
They turn their heads in the direction of the footsteps. The crowd takes a few steps in that direction.
It's the monster! It's the monster!
Don runs off. Man walks down the sidewalk toward them. Don returns with a shotgun.
What a shotgun!
Steve takes it away from him.
Somebody think a thought around it. What good is a shotgun?
No more talk, Steve! You're gonna talk us right into a grave. You'd let whatever's out there walk right over us, wouldn't you? Well, some of us won't.
Grabbing the shotgun. The approaching man, carrying a hammer. He falls to the ground. The crowd rushes toward him. Steve holds a lantern over him.
Pete Van Horn.
Pete Van Horn.
Charlie gets down on the ground and looks at the body.
Well, he was just going over to the next block to see if the power was on.
Charlie, you killed him. He's dead.
I didn't know who he was. I most certainly didn't know who he was. Well, he came out of the darkness.
Getting up.
How was I supposed to know who he was?
Turning around to face the crowd.
Steve, you know why I shot him. How was I supposed to know he wasn't a monster or something? I was only trying to protect my home. Didn't know it was somebody we knew. Didn't know.
Look! Charlie. Charlie, the lights just went on in your house. Why did the lights go on in your house?
What about it, Charlie? How come you're the only one with lights now?
That's what I'd like to know.
Asks Les.
You're so quick to kill Charlie, and so quick to tell us who we had to look out for. Well, maybe you had to kill. Maybe Pete there was trying to tell us something. Maybe Pete learned something and came back to tell us who it was amongst us we had to look out for.
No! No, it's nothing of the sort!
Backing away.
I didn't know the light's on, I swear I didn't! Somebody's pulling a gag or something!
A gag? A gag? Charlie, there's a man lying dead in the street and you killed him. Does that look like a gag to you?
Charlie runs toward his house. The crowd chases after him. People pick up stones and hurl them towards him. His head is bloodied.
Look! Look, I swear it isn't me! I swear it isn't! I know who it is! I know who the monster is! I know who it is that doesn't belong among us! I swear I know who it is!
All right, Charlie, let's hear it!
What are you waiting for?
Well, come on, Charlie, come on!
Who is it, Charlie? Tell us!
It's a kid! It's Tommy! He's the one!
Oh, that's not true! It isn't so. He's a little boy. It was this kid who knew what was going to happen. He was the one who knew. How did he know? How could he have known?
Make
how did you know, Tommy?
What's the matter with you people now? Stop!
How did you know?
How did you know?
Now the crowd chases after Tommy. Suddenly, lights come on in other houses.
It's Bob Weaver's house!
It isn't Bob Weaver's place! It's Don's house!
It's the Williams' house! That's a kid, I tell you!
It's Charlie! He's the one!
A lawnmower starts. People grab guns and bricks. The crowd scatters. People run back and forth in chaos. From a nearby hill.
Understand the procedure now.
Two men stand with an electrical device.
Just stop a few of their machines and radios and telephones and lawnmowers. Throw them into darkness for a few hours and then sit back and watch the pattern.
And this pattern is always the same?
With few variations. They pick the most dangerous enemy they can find. And it's themselves. All we need do is sit back and watch.
Then I take it this place, this Maple Street, is not unique.
By no means. Their world is full of Maple Streets.
He carries the electrical device.
And we'll go from one to the other and let them destroy themselves.
Up into a spacecraft.
One to the other. One to the other. One to the other.
The staircase lifts into the spacecraft.
The tools of conquest do not necessarily come with bombs and explosions and fallout. There are weapons that are simply thoughts, attitudes, prejudices, to be found only in the minds of men.
The spacecraft flies off.
For the record, prejudices can kill, and suspicion can destroy. And a thoughtless, frightened search for a scapegoat has a fallout all of its own. For the children, and the children yet unborn. And the pity of it is that these things cannot be confined to the Twilight Zone.
Credits. Directed by Ronald Winston. Written and narrated by Rod Serling. Produced by Buck Houghton. Executive producer for Cayuga Productions, Rod Serling. Starring Claude Akins, Barry Atwater, Jack Weston, Jan Hanslick, with Amzie Strickland, Bert Metcalf, Mary Gregory, Jason Johnson, Ann Barton, Leah Wagner, Joan Sudlow, Ben Irway, Lynn Guild, Sheldon Allman, William Walsh. Music by Rene Garigonk. Conducted by Lud Gluskin. Director of Photography, George T. Clemens. Production Manager, Ralph W. Nelson. Art Directors, George W. Davis, William Ferrari. Assistant Director, Edward Denault. Casting, Mildred Goose. Film Editor, Bill Mosher. Set decorations, Henry Grace, Rudy Butler. Sound, Frank Milton, Gene Valentino. Animated title by UPA. Copyright 1959 by Cayuga Productions, Inc. Filmed at Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer Studios. Audio description by Lou Lasher.